For WCYB Digital Radio, I'm Heather Engel. Joining me today is Kelly Reeves, also known as Ms. Defense. Kelly, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Your company is all about empowering women to take control of their personal safety, and today we're talking about women's self-defense online. So there's so much to talk about here, so let's start with the basics. Can you share some tips for us on what does self-defense online mean to you?
Well, it's kind of multi-pronged. One is awareness, is knowing that what the threats are out there, how they can affect you. Women and seniors are more often victims of cyber threats and online scams. I don't know why that is. And it's really hard, unless you're a cybersecurity expert, to know all the different types of threats out there and how they can get to you. But keeping to the most common ones, social media threats, email threats, things that are part of your everyday text threats that seem kind of innocuous, but that's where a cyber criminal's primary method of carrying out their crimes.
So when I think about online cybersecurity and self-defense, there's really two things that come to mind. So one is safeguarding personal information. You don't want your social security number, your bank account stolen by a cyber criminal. But we've also seen a lot in the news incidents of cybersecurity or technology being used to stalk victims or commit some sort of crime against someone in real life. Can you talk a little bit about either of those two?
Yeah. So I was actually recently, I hate to say, quote, victim, but of an online scam through Facebook and using Venmo. They only sold $50, but it was still a scam because I was going to buy tickets to an event on my birthday and the event was sold out and people were on the event page saying, oh, I have extra tickets. And this person I was communicating with, and they even showed me the tickets with the order number, and I sent them the money, and they kept saying, oh, we never received it through Venmo. We never received it. Can you resend it through Zelle or Apple Pay? And that's when I was like, okay, I think these people just scammed me. So I reported it to Venmo, who of course did nothing about it because, you know, they just said, well, it was a private party situation, so we're not going to get your money back. So you really just can't trust anybody. What seemed like a normal kind of transaction turned into somebody stealing money from me on my birthday. So they're going to get double karma against them. So it's things like that, and things that also seem completely normal. You'll get a message on Facebook from a friend that has a link and you click on it because, you know, we like to look at funny cat videos or whatever. And next thing you know, your computer's been infected with a virus and your Facebook accounts have been hacked. So they're actually using people's insider network to get to you.
So the second part of the question that I'd like to address with you is, we've seen some stories in the news recently of women becoming victims, or it's primarily women, because their car has some sort of tracking mechanism and it's being abused by, you know, sometimes domestic partners, sometimes by strangers who have access to that. Is that something that you can talk a little bit about, and how can women prevent that?
Well, just turn it off if you can. So I know that all these Teslas and autonomous cars are coming with all this high tech that is kind of ripe for cyber criminals to get into. So it's unfortunate because, okay, this is a cool car and you probably spent a lot of money on it, but now your car can be used as a weapon against you and its technology. So with those tracking devices, I would say turn it off if you don't absolutely need it. I mean, I can understand like leaving somewhere late at night and you want to make sure your family member, spouse or whatever can track you to make sure you get home safe, or say it's a teenager that's leaving work late and you want to track their car. But, you know, they can also do that through their phones, because if the phone has, you know, Find My, and they have other tracking devices in the phone that they could use. So yeah, I mean, it's certainly something that can be used against you in certain situations. So I would say if you can turn it off and on and not have it on all the time so you can be tracked everywhere you go, then do that.
So we talk a lot about online scams, whether it's multi-factor authentication, prompt bombing or spam email, malicious redirects on web pages. What are some tips that you have for identifying scams and managing online interactions safely?
I follow a personal zero trust policy. Trust no one. So verify everything, trust no one. So, you know, through text, for example, one of the most common text scams, there's actually two. One seems like it's from Amazon, where they say, oh, we can't verify your credit card information. Click here to update it. And people will click, and then they put in their credit card information, and now their credit card information has been stolen. Another one is, it appears like it's from the United States Postal Service, asking for either you to update your address or update your credit card that may be on file, but the United States Postal Service doesn't typically store credit card information. So those are the two main ones through text. But if I get anything from anyone, and like recently, actually, I started getting text messages from Verizon saying somebody wants to verify their account. And at first I thought it was my sister, because she and I share a Verizon account. So I didn't click on anything. I sent her a text and said, hey, are you trying to get into our account? And she was like, nope. And I said, okay. But it's the same number that all of the legitimate confirmations or verifications from Verizon came from. But I knew that it wasn't me, and I knew it wasn't my sister. So somebody is trying to go into Verizon and use my phone number and get access to my account. So they're getting sneaky.
Yeah, there's so many things that we could talk about here and, you know, try to unpack with phone numbers being taken over. Is there a particular software that you recommend everyone have, whether it's antivirus, anti-malware, the use of a VPN? If you had to pick one, what would be your favorite?
I don't think there's really just one, because everything has a purpose. You know, for password, I like 1Password, you know, and that's the thing that people are saying, oh, you don't need to change your passwords anymore because everything's secure. I'm like, that's not true. So I'm still a big believer in changing your passwords frequently and using very complicated ones if you can. 1Password is great because you have your 1Password that's your own, whatever it is, your dog's name or just something. But then for all of the other services you use, like your credit card, your bank, anything online, you're given a unique password every time you log in that's generated through 1Password. So you only need to know that 1Password, but all of your accounts, it's like a unique password that's generated every single time you log in. I'm also a big believer in multi-factor authentication with an authenticator app. So even when I use 1Password to go into any account, I'll still either get a text or something in my authenticator app that has to get that extra layer of verification. So on the home computer, I like Norton LifeLock just for everyday use. For corporate, you know, you can use Kaspersky, which I can never say. There's other antivirus and firewall programs you can use. VPN is really if you're doing a lot of remote stuff, you know, things in the cloud, and you're storing a lot of sensitive information there. But if you're just like home use, where you don't really have that sophisticated everyday use of your computer, then I would just say you have a good antivirus, a good firewall. And it's really, you know, like same thing with self-defense offline. It is proactive prevention and being aware of what's happening and knowing that link could be a dangerous link. So I always just tell people, I'm like, don't click on anything. If you have to verify with someone, verify. So, you know, you'll receive an email that will seem like normal. I'll still text the person and say, hey, did you send me this email? Was it legitimate? Like, oh yeah, sorry. Because otherwise you click on it and then it could cause you a whole lot of trouble.
So one thing that comes to mind as a concern for anyone online is dating apps. So in particular, women, how can women keep themselves safe meeting people online? And what are some tips for remaining safe if you've already been talking with someone online and you're now ready to meet in person?
Online is a little easier because you could just delete the person and block them if they're acting like a weirdo. But I talk about this a lot when it comes to child safety online. But when it comes to, you know, adult safety online, look at their profile, look at their pictures. You know, are they saying they're a 50-year-old man and it's obviously their pictures are from 1984? So it's like, how are their pictures? Do they look normal? Do they have any friends with them? I'll kind of go the extra mile. I don't do online dating anymore, but when I did, I would see if I can find them on other social sites, mainly like on LinkedIn, because if they're on LinkedIn and they have a full LinkedIn profile, that kind of indicates, okay, they're a professional, they have a career, you can see a little more about them. So it's really trying to do as much research as you can. But, you know, you can tell by their profiles. Sometimes you just get a vibe like, okay, that person looks really creepy and they're sending creepy messages. So I'm just going to block them. But say you meet somebody online and the conversation is going great and everything appears all normal. I'll still say, hey, I won't ever let them pick me up at my home. I'll say, hey, I tell friends like I'm going here and meeting this guy I met online. I'm going to call and check in with you by this time. And I actually had that happen. And I live in kind of a small town. And I told my best girlfriend, like, hey, I'm going out with this guy and I'm meeting him here. I'll call or text you by 9. And we were just having such a nice guy. We were having a great conversation. I forgot to text her. She drove all the way downtown, found my car and saw me in the window of the restaurant and Newt saw us like talking. And so she left a note, like, I saw you in there. I just came down to check on you because you were supposed to call me by 9. And I was like, oh my gosh, well, that's one really good friend. And when I left, I was like, oh gosh, I got your note. So sorry. But I do let people know where I'm going. And if, you know, the days you just meet for a drink or a coffee and decide to go elsewhere, letting people know, I'll give a description of the person and here's his profile, whatever. So it's kind of just taking that proactive preparation kind of approach and having a plan in place.
Right. So making sure that someone knows where you are and they have your contact information and they know to check in with you.
Yeah.
Your friend sounds like a good friend, the one that drove down to find you.
She is. We tell that story and she's like, oh my gosh. Oh. So like, I'm so sorry. We were just having such a great conversation. I totally forgot.
Well, Kelly, today we've been talking about women's self-defense online. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Being safe online is just as important as it is offline, because some of my students in my women's self-defense workshops are previous victims of assault, and I know how traumatizing that is, but it's also incredibly traumatizing to have someone steal your entire identity, your life savings, thousands and thousands of dollars, and you're having to recover part of your life back. So just try to be as vigilant online as you would be offline, because that's the thing about cyber criminals is they can hide a lot easier. They become very sophisticated in this day and age, and you can be just as much of a victim online as you can off. Like I say, with situational awareness, if something doesn't feel right, it's probably not. And at least just check on it before you click on something.
For WCYB Digital Radio, I'm Heather Engel. Joining me today was Kelly Reeves. For more info on Kelly, visit MsDefenseCCW.com.